And welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. This is Ted Brewer, bringing you your latest world news and health research. Austin will be with me momentarily.
I'm in here, bud.
Oh, good. I'm glad you can make it, bud. We've got a bunch of stories to cover today. I want to start with one which absolutely blows my mind. When I was a kid, I used to really love reading comic books. I mean, I had stacks and stacks of them. I only wish I'd have kept them all. They probably would have been worth a little bit of money now. I threw them all away after I was a teenager. But I used to read them constantly. Austin, every week I'd go out and buy a new comic book, but my mom would take us to the laundromat. We'd basically sit there and I'd read comic books from the 7-Eleven next door, and you could buy them for like 15, 18, 19 cents a piece. Now, Superman was always one of my big heroes, him and Iron Man and the Avengers and those guys, and of course a lot of other people are the same way. But right now, the latest Superman comic book has just come out. Basically, Superman is now protecting undocumented workers from armed white supremacists in the latest comic book. I mean, this is just absolutely crazy. The moment in the book released Wednesday comes a week after Trump ended the DACA. Perhaps it's just a coincidence, but perhaps it's not. In the recent issue of the Action Comics number 987, The Oz Effect, released Wednesday, Superman arrives in the nick of time to protect a group of undocumented immigrants from a white man sporting an American flag bandana, wielding a machine gun, who's going to shoot them for taking his job. Superman blocks the bullets before they hit the terrified people. "Stop this," Superman orders the gunman. "Why?" he responds. "They ruined me. They stole from me." Grabbing the gunman by the collar and pulling him up close, Superman says, "The only person responsible for the blackness smothering your soul is you." Guys, you talk about propaganda being a great level to the children of this country who read comic books. This is as low as it goes. This is back with old Hitler and the youth squads, guys. This is some rough stuff. I cannot believe this is going on to our youth who continue to read comic books by the millions. What do you think about this story, Austin?
That's pretty sad, bud, and it's exactly what you just said. That's aimed exactly towards the youth of this country, and they're gearing this younger generation, as I have brought up so many times now, to conform to this globalist agenda of what they're trying to do. That's why now, I mean, I talked about yesterday, California now, they're now making it illegal for landlords to turn in tenants that are illegals. Doesn't matter how many are staying in the house or how many codes they are violating. If he brings up the fact that they are illegal, he is breaking the law, and it allows the tenant to basically sue him for damages. This is where it's going now, and if I've said this numerous times, if you're wanting to come to this country legally and you're wanting to get visas and you're wanting to do paperwork and you want to come here and support this country and continue to build it, absolutely I'm all about it. But coming here illegally and trying to do everything off the books and be absolutely shady and then turn around and try and get tax money illegally through fake Social Security numbers, which literally millions of illegals do every year now, including welfare benefits and everything else, is absolutely detestable to me. And the fact that Superman is now supporting this is pretty sad. It really is pretty sad. Also, too, I wanted to bring this up today. This is something that a lot of people, you know, we've talked about Bitcoin repeatedly, and as you see now, it's gone up a lot. There's actually some people that made some money with it. The issue I have with it now is unless you bought the stuff at very, very low, I would not spend anywhere near $4,000 per one coin to try and make money on this investment. I've watched it for a while, and it's definitely gone up. But now we see that J.P. Morgan is now coming out now. The J.P. Morgan CEO, Jamie Dimon, is saying that the cryptocurrency is a fraud because it's not traceable. And he goes on in this article to basically slam Bitcoin on what it is. And what nobody wants to address here is that the biggest reason why Bitcoin took off so much was because of the ability to be anonymous with transactions. But nobody's even discussing the fact that central banks now in the United States have bought over $1.96 trillion in financial assets in just this year alone, pushing up the total central bank balance sheets to $15.6 trillion. They are buying up everything, guys. And one of the reasons why they hate Bitcoin so much, which only takes up $2 billion worth of the market right now, $2 billion worth of the market, that's it, is they don't like the ability to not be able to control it. The last week an article came out now about IRS trying to go through now and build data programs to find out people that have made money on Bitcoin Bitcoin and have not paid taxes. They said that they went in now, and they're saying that they're making sure that Bitcoin is no longer anonymous in the future. There are a number of companies that scour the blockchain, which is what is used to basically keep it anonymous. Earlier this month, IRS said they have been partnering with a company called Chain Analysis to double down its efforts to monitor Bitcoin traders who engage in volume and high-frequency trading, and focusing on revealing the identity of anyone who has traded more than $20,000 in Bitcoin per year. Chain Analysis is an anti-money laundering software for Bitcoin. And so this is what they're trying to do now, guys. They do not want anybody having the ability to do transactions anonymously. This is why they hate cash. They're doing every single thing they can to get rid of cash now. Everything they can. They're trying to deem it to be dirty, money laundering. The only people that use cash are drug dealers and terrorists, which they blatantly said now. They're doing everything they can to devalue the paper value of gold and silver on a regular basis. Remember, these guys do not want us to have the ability to have sound money. This is why in 1933, Franklin Roosevelt signed the Executive Order 6102 forbidding the holding of any gold and put a $10,000 fine and up to 10 years in prison if you were caught hoarding gold, which, by the way, $10,000 in 1933 is about $180,000 fine today. And this was to make sure the Federal Reserve had the ability to issue as many Federal Reserve notes as they wanted, and they could not do that now, or they could not do that in 1933 with the 40% gold backing requirement that they had. The Federal Reserve has been doing this since 1913. They're not going to stop if they have their way at it. They're doing everything they can. Now they're doing their best to go after Bitcoin with the propaganda online, with JP Morgan, with IRS, with all these guys. And again, like I said, I'm not a big fan of digital stuff because it's too easy to be hacked and compromised. However, now they see that there's a market for Bitcoin and people are actually making money and using it significantly for transactions. They do not want that. Just the other day, I think it was yesterday or Monday, I heard the iPhone 10 came out now. And this is pretty crazy because there's not even a fingerprint button on the iPhone 10 now. Now it is a full facial recognition software only. You don't even have a choice once you buy this phone. And get this, the facial recognition software is designed to grow and adapt to your age as you get older. So if you get an iPhone 10 when you're 12 years of age, it adapts every time it scans your face as you get older through puberty to continue to monitor and recognize your face without ever having to change it or update the settings in the iPhone. This is where they're going, guys. They want to monitor, track, and analyze every single thing you do. They can't do that with Bitcoin yet, nor can they do that with gold and silver, nor can they do that with cash. That's why they're trying to make everything as cashless as quick as possible, Dad.
I think the Bitcoin, this is my personal opinion on Bitcoin, I think the CIA set the whole Bitcoin up to start with. I think it's a beta test for the cashless society we're going into. I think the central banks are going to use it as a model, and they're letting the free market work the kinks out of Bitcoin right now. Because there's absolutely no way they can't stop it immediately. They can make it illegal, go into prison, got 50 years coming to prison, $100 million in fines if you use Bitcoin. It's going to stop. I mean, it would stop instantaneously. They have not done that. They want to see what the beta test is going to do. They're going to let this run for a few years, get the kinks ironed out of it, and they'll be able to use the exact same template when they go into their cashless society. Because remember, when they tried to do it in India, when they tried to drop the amount of bills you get, the size of the bills, it went to a giant disaster in India. It was a complete and total failure. They don't want to have that happen. Going from a cash society to a cashless society is not just something you snap your fingers and make happen. It takes time and a lot of computer technology to do that, and they're developing that technology right now as we speak with Bitcoin as a beta test, in my opinion, Austin. I believe that's why they're doing it. Now,
yeah, well, to add on that, too, I want to end this article of J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon talking about this. At the end of the article, it even says right here, J.P. Morgan, though, however, has been reportedly beginning a trial project using blockchain as it tries to cut down trading costs. Blockchain is the technology behind Bitcoin. So you're absolutely on point with that, Dad. We've talked about that before, but I think that's what they're doing, because if they wanted to ban this right now, they could do it, as they already did it with gold in 1933. They've showed us that. But what they're going to do is, once they get it ironed out and leveled out, then they'll have the ability to completely shut down Bitcoin or buy it out or whatever they want to do and roll right into that model, because Bitcoin is now becoming so acceptable online. So many people are using it. It's literally going to be seamless to transition that into a cashless society. That's a great point with that.
So that's how they're doing it. I don't normally report on rappers. I'm going to report on this rapper because I'm so angry about this. Rapper, I guess his name is rapper XXX Tentacion, sparks an outrage with his latest music video. This is a Florida hip hop artist. He's in the video hanging a white child until the white child is dead. I mean, with a full noose around his neck. And I cannot believe that people put stuff out like this. He leaves a black child and a white child up to the swinging noose in a blacked out room, forcing the black child to watch. And then he basically slips his name, as he was born Joshua Dwayne Onfroy. He can be seen then slipping the noose over the white boy's head. He then pulls the rope up, and the boy is raised into the air as his legs can be seen twitching as he's being lynched. I don't really know what to say about this. I don't really know how to even comment about this. I don't know how, if a white person did something like this to a black child, the person would be probably immediately arrested for hate speech. I don't even know how people get away with stuff like this, and why this is okay with anybody, with this just unbelievably just over the top racist video that he's put out with. And quite frankly, he's a complete and total lowlife, and I personally believe he needs to be arrested for hate speech and for hate crime for even putting something like this out. Because Austin, all we have is a bunch of people out there, blacks, whites, Hispanics, and everything else, in this giant racial tension pot right now. We don't need people out there stoking up the pot and kindling the fire and making people think it's okay. And he's hanging a little white child. I mean, it's a little boy, like an 8-year-old boy. And I mean, it's just awful to me, son. But I wanted to bring that story up because it was so egregious to me. I thought our listeners have to hear what's going on with this. And everybody who listens to rap music, you guys need to disavow this guy if you've ever even heard of him. Because this guy's just really, really, really just absolutely nuts, Austin. What do you think about this?
That's absolutely nightmares. I mean, the fact that that hasn't been addressed already yet, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to look into that today, because, I mean, that's unbelievably, unbelievably insightful as far as of hate crimes. And like you said, I don't understand why in the world, in such a racial tension area of where we at right now in the United States, why in the world do anybody thinks that's okay behavior whatsoever? That really needs to be addressed, especially for the fact that it's not okay to hang anybody, but much less blatantly do it in a racial manner. But you got to remember, the mainstream media is inciting racial violence as much as physically possible. So they're probably trying to get this video to stay up there and actually promote it now, to normalize it, to make it okay, and to somehow, in their sick, perverted minds, justify this on why it's okay. But that's not okay at all. Also, other news as far as with financial news. Now, this is pretty wild. I don't know how significant this is going to be, or if this is just repercussions of Trump talking about issuing sanctions, but China now released that they're preparing the sale of $2 billion in U.S. dollar bonds this month. And while this isn't a huge sale, apparently, they're saying it's massively symbolic. This would be China's biggest ever U.S. dollar bond sale, and its very first bond sale since October 2004. So I don't know what's going on with this. I know we talked before about how Russia and China looked like they were colluding to bring in a gold-backed currency and cut out the U.S. dollar, hence why the sanctions were put on Russia so significantly. And now they're talking about putting sanctions on China. So the $2 billion isn't that much money considering how much debt they are holding. But the fact that they're dumping this much at one time, and this is the first time they've even sold bonds since 2004, is definitely a bit odd to me, Dad. What do you think about this, or do you think it's just more obfuscation?
They're basically saying that if they back Korea, that they're going to have sanctions against China, and basically the United States is doing its best to put China in the back seat when it comes to coming out with a new currency. But remember, the Rothschilds have been working with China for a long, long time to get this thing done. And the Rothschilds are owning both sides of this coin, just like they did with the Civil War in the United States, because they run the central bank in China, too. So, I mean, so we have a situation where China is flexing its muscles along with Russia, and they probably want to dump central banks everywhere, and the Rothschilds are in a full-blown panic mode. So if this happens and they start dumping $1 trillion worth of bonds, I think they own like $1 trillion worth of U.S. bonds, something even more than that. If they do all of that and they start dumping these bonds in a huge amount, of course the bond prices are already absolutely ridiculously low anyhow because of what's happened as far as interest rates. So, I mean, so it's going to be a big, big mess, Austin. The problem is, I've talked about this before, what the central bank did is they were brilliant. What the Rothschilds did. It was this Babylonian money magic they did, they've really refined it to an art to take over these countries. If we owed the money to the Rothschild cartel, let me go back to square one. If I decided I was going to buy the island of Grenada, and I had enough money to do that, which obviously I don't, but if I had the money to do it, I decided I want to spend $100 million, let's say $100 billion, and I was going to buy the island of Grenada. So I buy the island of Grenada, but now I have no cash left, and now all of a sudden I have to have more cash. So I need another $100 billion in currency, but I don't have anything to finance it with, so I go to Bill Gates, and I say, Bill Gates, I want you to print up $100 billion worth of Bill Gates dollars in the 50s, 100s, whatever, and we're going to have the ability now to go in and build the infrastructure of the island of Grenada up and use your $100 billion. And Bill Gates says to me, he goes, absolutely fine. I'll print you up $100 billion. My discount rate continues to be 7.2%, which is the rule of 72, which means after 10 years that money doubles. That's why I used 7.2%. So Bill Gates is making a 7%. He gives me $100 billion, and I use the money in Grenada. And we spend the money on plant, equipment, infrastructure, et cetera. After 10 years, everything's clicking along pretty good, and now I say to Bill Gates, or Bill Gates comes to me and he goes, well, Ted, you owe me $100 billion, the original debt that you borrowed, plus you owe me another $100 billion in interest because the notes doubled. You owe me $200 billion. And my response to Bill Gates would be, but Bill, we only printed $100 billion. How can I pay you back the other $100 billion, which I cannot? I've got to borrow now the other $100 billion again from, and I still owe $100 billion. I've got to borrow another $100 billion for the interest notes that are due. And this goes on and on and on, so it keeps doubling every 10 years. Well, in a few years, I owe him more money than the country's worth. This is exactly what the Rothschild banking cartel did. They never printed the interest of the money that's due. So the trillions of dollars that we owe in interest, the money's never been printed. It's never been printed. It doesn't exist. It's not in circulation. Everybody's got to wrap their head around that. So even if we took all of the M1 money out and we said we're going to give you the money back, it's only a tiny fraction after 100 years of the actual money that we owe the Rothschild banking cartel, which is in excess of $100 trillion with the unfunded debts and liabilities that we have in the United States. So it's in essence worth, we owe more money on the country than it's worth. This is what they do. Now, this is exactly what they've done for centuries and centuries and centuries. So what they're doing in China is the same thing. They sold our debt. Instead of saying, okay, now we have $100 billion in bonds or $2 billion in bonds, we're going to sell. The reason that the Rothschild Bank did not buy those bonds themselves and keep the debt themselves is they wanted to indebt China to the United States. So if we try to take the treasury and fold it into the Federal Reserve and stop issuing money at interest like we've been doing for the past 100 years, go back to the way it was prior to 1913, we now owe these tens of trillions of dollars to all of these countries around the world, and of course with the derivatives markets to all of these different countries that have bought into the U.S. dollars. So even if we told the Rothschild bank cartel, pound salt, you guys can go to HE double sticks, we're not paying you the money. We don't owe the money to the Rothschilds. We own it to China. We owe it to Russia. We owe it to England. We owe it to Germany. We owe it to Japan. All of these countries that have bought into the U.S. debt, we owe that money to them. So we can't just step away and tell the Rothschilds to pound salt. We owe this money to all of these countries. That's the insidious nature of what they've done to the United States. So now we're beholden to China. We're beholden to Japan. We're beholden to all these other countries because they're carrying large portions of our debt. So if we bankrupted it and said, told the Rothschilds, we're not going to do this, it would make a difference. We'd still owe all the other money. The only way out of this is to do what they did after the Weimar Republic. The assets of the Rothschild banking cartel have to be nationalized. In other words, they own the Fortune 500 corporations now. They own the controlling interest in like all of them. Because, like you said, they spent trillions of dollars this year alone in buying stocks in the United States Fortune 500. So they own all that. So what you could do is you could take that money and you could nationalize it. You could declare what they've done completely illegal and you could seize all of their assets. Now, if you did that, oh my gosh, there would be worldwide chaos of the financial markets. There's no way out of this mess that they've put us in short of getting rid of the Federal Reserve Bank, the Rothschild Bank, and putting these guys all in jail and nationalizing their assets and tying it back through the Treasury. But then we still have the problem of owing all of these countries who gave us their money to buy our debt. So this is the problem that we run into in the United States when you put this den of vipers in charge, like Andrew Jackson called them, of the money supply. This is called Babylonian money magic. It's been around since Druidic times. It's one of the primary reasons that caused the fall of the Roman Empire. And every fiat currency they do this with, it always goes back to its intrinsic value, which is simply the paper that it's printed on. So then pretty soon, the creditors start coming into the United States saying, you owe us this, you owe us that. This is what happened with Greece. Now they want to start buying the islands in Greece, the monuments in Greece, all the stuff in Greece. They want to buy it all back so they can say, hey, we now own your country. This is where they want it to go, with a one-world government completely controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel. Now, that's as simple as I can make this whole mess be, but that's where we are. But I was picking on the black rapper. Now I'm going to pick on a white woman who sings to make sure that you guys don't think I'm just picking on a black rapper today. Taylor Swift's latest video is an occult masterpiece of Illuminati mind control. Guys, never allow your children to watch Taylor Swift. There's an open secret in the entertainment industry. This is an article by Sigmund Freud, staff writer for Waking Times, which is one of those websites you got to be careful with because it's got some weird stuff in it. It says, there's an open secret in the entertainment industry. In order to rise to the highest levels of pop music stardom, you must completely give yourself over to the establishment that is long perfecting the art of mind control through dark imagery and occult symbolism. Why is the one-eye thing so popular in pop culture? Examples of this are dreadfully ubiquitous in our society today, most notably with the image of the starlet with one eye covered and the Pledge of Allegiance to the Illuminati's all-seeing eye of dominion, which is also on the back of our dollar bill. This is all this Rothschild nonsense. This is all the satanic mind control stuff. The subconscious mind absorbs the meaning and takes direction from images and symbols and imagery, often sensing that which the conscious mind overlooks or filters out. This is well known as a fundamental aspect of human spirituality, and visualization has long been essential. This is the article I'm reading. When you see such powerful imagery presented in carefree medium like a music video, it's critical to understand that the images flashing in rapid fire on the screen are working a kind of magic over the mind of the viewer. It's subliminal programming, although in today's pop art culture, it's hardly subliminal, but so few people know what they're consuming when they watch this media. Guys, I've said this before, you can go back and read this entire article, but Taylor Swift is absolutely just turned into a complete and total trailer trash tramp as far as I'm concerned. She's absolutely awful. And I can't believe she's doing this with these young girls that so idolize her, which is the same thing Madonna has done. And all of these girls have basically sold their souls over to Lucifer. Guys, the right brain sees these images, and it never forgets these images. It burns them indelibly into your synapse, and you can never let go of the images. That's why the Apple iPad, when you turn these wretched things on, they basically brought during, they take that apple with the bite taken out of it, which symbolizes the fall in the Garden of Eden, which is what it symbolizes, by the way. And they burn that into your mind. It's super bright when you turn an iPhone or an iPad on, and then it goes to dim after about 15 or 20 seconds after it's burned it into your right brain. Guys, it's so important that when you turn these things on, you shut those things, close the covers on so you don't have to see all that stuff. And also, when these things are real, real bright, it's very hard on the retina. Just a sidebar, make sure you watch them as dim as you possibly can, that you can still see them so you don't cause eye damage from looking into these screens like this, where so many people are looking at them every single day. But guys, this occult symbolism in today's music is everywhere. See, this is what this rapper, this first guy was doing when he's hanging a white child. He's burning that image of that child hanging by the rope with his feet twitching into your mind, making you think in your mind that's okay. See, making you see. See, this stuff is so sick and so weird that when you start looking at it from an overall perspective, it's all satanic, all of it. And that's how these guys do what they do, and they sell their souls to Lucifer and the record industry and everything else, and it's so crazy that this is all okay by the people in the United States. What do you think, Austin?
It is, and that's why the music videos are so pervasive. I mean, the music itself is bad enough, but that's why they do so much money and they put so much effort into the music videos, because when you do the sound with the words and then the imaging, it gives you that full effect of the mind control. We talked about a couple months ago, Katy Perry did that. Essentially, it was like a cannibalistic, satanic ritual video where they're like chopping her up and cooking her and feeding her to this group of Illuminati, and then they come about and they butcher everybody in the room. Sick stuff. I mean, weird, weird, sick stuff. Yet they play it all over online, play it on YouTube, play it on TV, and they've normalized a lot of this. And that's what I said when that music video came out with Katy Perry a couple months ago. I said, if you played a music video like this on MTV back in the 90s, people literally would have been sitting there with their mouths open, calling up on the phones, flipping out, saying, what the heck did you guys just release on TV? But they've slowly, slowly, slowly brought this stuff into the media, brought it online, and essentially made it so everybody's so desensitized to it, nobody even thinks twice about it anymore, which is the exact point of mind control, because once you're looking at it and you no longer realize what they're trying to do to you, you completely fall in to essentially that hypnosis that they're putting you in. That's what it is. And so you have to make sure with little children, don't watch that stuff, because little children, they're so innocent and their minds are so gullible. They have no idea about this stuff. So it immediately goes in their subconscious and it goes to work on whatever weird, sadistic stuff they're trying to push on these kids. So it is very, very sad that a lot of this is going on. And speaking of California, I talked to you yesterday about the end of the show. I just saw this article now. Jerry Brown just released yesterday as well that they're now planning on spending $30 million of taxpayer money to help young immigrants with school and college financial aid now. They're allotting another $30 million a year to give illegal children college scholarships on top of everything else that they've been doing now. And we wonder why California is completely and totally insolvent, and they have to continue to keep getting grant money from the United States government. I don't know really quite yet what Trump's going to do about this, but eventually this is why California's trying to do this. The globalists want to use California as a template to try and break up the United States. If they can get California to reach a point where it's going to secede and China is essentially going to bail them out, which we already talked about months and months ago, Dave Hodges even talked about that too, that will be the first step in dissolving the United States and carving it up. That, in my opinion, is the next point that they want to reach, because they do not want to have the United States of America. Remember, the New World Order is basically out of chaos, is like a new world. I don't remember the whole saying of it, but that's essentially what it is. Out of the ashes, they bring about a new world order. I'm paraphrasing that. And that's what they want to do. The United States of America is still a symbol of freedom. It's a symbol of unity, and it's a symbol of patriotism, and they do not want that being together. That's why they're doing everything they can to try and pull California away from the United States, and they're giving everybody no choice, because the more California does unbelievably idiotic stuff like this, there's nothing, and there's a reaching point where nobody's going to put up with it anymore, and I think that's where it's headed now, Dad. That's why they're intentionally allowed to do this, and they're getting away with it.
Also, remember, you've got all of these football players who were protesting the United States, and during the national anthem and the raising of our symbol, United States flag, they sit down, and the cameras take the pictures of the video. Most of these, when they do this, the news shots are now the people sitting down rather than the flag. And what they're doing, they're basically degrading the image of the United States flag by these sports heroes kneeling and basically disrespecting the United States. This is all about symbolism, guys. It's all about symbolism. The Holy Spirit just showed me this. That's why they're doing this with the flag. Because what they're doing is they're not allowing us to see the flag. They're watching us see the black protesters who are primarily black, these guys that are sitting on the field because of Black Lives Matter and everything else, and they're causing disunity, and they're causing the symbolism of the flag of the United States to be degraded. They want to destroy the symbolism. They've already done it with the Confederate flag. They've already done that. They've already made that the battle flag of the Confederacy. They've made that a sign of racism. They've done it very subtly, but it's now all racism. You swing a battle, you swing a Confederate flag up, you're automatically a racist, period. You have it on the back of your truck, you're a racist. If you put it on the back of your truck now, in the back window, or decal the Confederate flag, you're going to get your vehicle keyed. You're going to get it keyed, or somebody's going to run into it in the parking lot. Just, I'm telling you what's going to happen to you if you do that, if you live in certain areas of the country. But they're doing everything they can to destroy the symbolism of the United States, to destroy the eagle, to destroy the flag, to destroy the patriotism, to destroy everything. They've got to break us up into groups. And with people like this rapper and Taylor Swift put out these filthy, filthy videos, they don't care anything about anyone else except for themselves. That's all they care about. They're totally and completely self-absorbed. And everything is to destroy the image of the United States. This is why they hate Donald Trump so much, because his mantra was, make America great again.
Yep.
That's what he wanted. That was his motto. That was his slogan for his campaign. Make America great again. And now they don't want to do that. They've spent 50 years destroying the United States, sucking the wealth out of the United States. Now it's come time for Thanksgiving dinner with these guys, and they want to carve the United States up into its own little regions and sell it to the countries that we owe the money to, or give it to them and break us all up in little chunks. That's where they're taking this, is this one world, new world order. That's why they hate Donald Trump. They hate Florida because we voted for Trump. They hate Texas because we voted for Trump. And guess what's happened? And now Trump's caving into the Democratic extension deal for the budget. And they're saying that a lot of this pressure was being done with these storms to force him to do all of this. Guys, now, all I know is this. That storm was geoengineered. They used space-based laser systems to direct it and to guide it. They used sea-based radar domes to energize it. They did all of this stuff. And here's the thing. We prayed on this show, and many of my pastor friends prayed on this show, and this hurricane was a big nothing burger. It was nothing. It was nothing in Central Florida. They tried to run it up the East Coast, the West Coast, to try to destroy as much infrastructure as they could. And by doing that, they pushed the storm surge out into the Gulf of Mexico. Beaches were receding thousands of feet out. They had no energy for the storm because the beaches couldn't provide any water. The red lasers could no longer direct the energy flow from the ionosphere into the storm to cause more circulation and more energy. I'll do a whole show on how they did all this. And this is what they did. So then they finally had no power left in it. The whole eye is discombobulated because they messed up because their beta test didn't work. And they shoved it sideways and put it into Central Florida, thinking, well, at least we can run it through Orlando again. By the time it got here, this is a non-rain event. Guys, we probably got 6 inches of rain from our storm. It should have gotten 24 to 30 inches of rain. Non-rain event here in Central Florida. Now, we had some wind. They pushed some 80, 90 mile an hour winds through here. We had some tree limbs break off, some minor stuff that needed to be trimmed anyhow. But the reality was, they wanted to destroy the state, to basically damage Donald Trump, and force him into their Paris Climate Accord agreements. Guys, that's what this whole thing's about, is the carbon tax. They want to try to make global warming real so they can charge us for breathing. But Trump said no. And so now they're bringing up all these storms all of a sudden because they want to prove that global warming is real. The whole thing is nonsense. Yep. The problem, again, is the majority of the people in the United States have been so brainwashed, they don't see the truth because a veil has been put over the eyes of the unbeliever, just like the Word says. And this is what's happened to them. Now they cannot see the truth. You'll sit there and you'll talk to them and you'll show them the truth. You'll show them the research. They look at you with their mouth open, if they even are listening to you, with a, like a look like, oh, I don't know what to believe about this, man. This is just too weird. Well, guys, I didn't say it wasn't weird. I just said it's very strange. Right now, we got a professor. We got a professor right now, a college professor who's encouraging that people slash the tires of ICE vehicles to stop the DACA deportation. This is in Philadelphia. Drexel University professor George Cercarelli Meyer is encouraging his leftist followers, his communists, to slash the tires of immigration and customs officials to stop deportations under DACA. Cercarelli made headlines last December when he tweeted out that the one thing he wanted for Christmas was white genocide. I mean, God, I'm so tired of these guys. Who in the world gets off talking about people like this and killing people, Austin? It's ridiculous. Buddy, what do you think?
It really is. I mean, if it wasn't so significant and it wasn't getting so much traction with the mainstream media trying to push it and actually brainwashing so many people, it would almost be a joke, but it's not. It's actually really, really significant, and it's an issue that everybody's trying to address now, but nobody wants to act like – nobody wants to take this seriously. Everybody wants to go, oh, well, you don't want to allow millions of illegals to come here, and we pay for them and give them free housing, free scholarship, and we allow them to basically sue their landlords. What's wrong with you? You're racist. That's what everything's turning into now, is as soon as you don't agree with this globalist New World Order narrative that the leftists have been brainwashed into, they automatically label you that. And it's sad, but that's where it's heading. That's why it's so important everybody stays so strong in your beliefs as far as what is right, what is wrong, and also the knowledge base with it, because we have to start standing up. We can't take this just sit back passivist role anymore. Oh, we'll sit on the table, we'll sit at the couch, we won't say anything, we don't want to rock the boat, we don't want to offend anybody. Guys, these Antifa paid protesters, they're not worried about doing any type of offending. They're going out there to hurt individuals. They're simply doing paid protesting. That's all they're out there to do now. They're doing the best they can to destabilize the rest of the population in the United States to get everybody fighting with one another, and they're doing an incredibly good job at it. That's why they're slowly bringing in all the migrants, especially from the Middle East. That's one of the last things they do. If you look at the destabilizing effects of what's happened to countries over the years, like with Rome and everything else, over hundreds and hundreds of years, when they started letting in basically the hordes of individuals that were not producing, not providing, and only taking from the country, it always fails shortly thereafter, because you bring the people in that don't have the same beliefs, don't have the same work ethics, and want to sit there and take off the system, and then bring in their incredibly egregious spiritual beliefs like Sharia law and try to dominate it and force everybody into that. I saw an article earlier here. Over in Sweden, a journalist now who actually got a hold of a rape case of a 12-year-old girl is trying to figure out what is going on, because he called up the police department trying to do investigating, and so far now it's been two months since the incident happened, and they still have not done anything about it whatsoever, even though the girl knows the man's name, they know his address, they know where he stays at. He called him up on the phone. He said, why have you guys not investigated this case? And they said, we cannot cope with the workload. They said, you do not know how many rapes we have, the police officer told Lamonti. He said, no, I don't, but I've talked to the mother, and they feel very bad about this, and they don't know what to do. You guys have his name, address, everything, and you won't even interrogate him. Isn't that remarkable? The police officer said, well, you might think so, but we have so many issues and so few people available. We cannot cope with the workload. And he goes, this sounds unbelievable, but a 12-year-old girl is raped. It's just a child. We have a 3-year-old child that just got raped the other day, and we still have not been able to prosecute the rapist at all. That's all I can say about that. This is where Sweden is heading right now. This is how sadistic the foreigners that are coming in now.
They have no morals and no ethics in most cases, not all of them, but a lot of them. And now they're being allowed further to engage in this type of stuff. I mean, this 12-year-old girl got raped back in July, and they still have not even interrogated him, have not even picked him up, have not even issued a warrant for his arrest, and they know exactly who he is. They even had a photo of him they gave in to the police report investigation. They, A, in my opinion, are so overloaded by this influx, they can't even handle it. They even said here in the article that sex crimes in Sweden have doubled on themselves since 2012, doubled on themselves. That is what's going on when you allow unbridled immigration from a country that does not share your religious background. This is what starts happening. And now, in an effort to try and downplay it, they're turning around and not allowing people to talk about the truth, not allowing them to make YouTube videos before they shut them down and go to their house and arrest them or give them a warning, and not allowing people to actually speak the truth, telling them it's forbidden to talk about it. You can't speak the truth about this. It's, you can't say that. You can't talk about rapes. You can't talk about the truth. This is what they're doing. This right here is, again, like Dad said before, a beta test in Europe to slowly replicate in the United States. Almost everything you see in Europe is always about 10 years ahead as far as what the globalists are trying to do, because you got to remember, they never left the crown. They always had the Rothschilds on them constantly with the EU and with the UK. This is what they're doing now in Europe. Once they can destabilize and completely control Europe with this, they're doing the same thing in the United States. We're just behind on the curve. And also, too, we have the Second Amendment behind this, and we literally have millions of weapons, including legally registered machine guns, all over the country, and they know that is a very, very, very difficult thing to cope with on any invading force when you have that type of firepower in the hands of the citizens. In my opinion, that is one of the only reasons why we have lasted this long and have not turned into Europe and Germany and Sweden yet, Dad.
That's exactly right. By the way, couple of quick stories. We're running out of time again. Trump has circumvented the Republicans and cut a debt ceiling deal with Democrats, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. The Senate passed a debt ceiling government funding hurricane aid deal with an 80-17 vote, which will suspend the debt limit until December the 8th and delaying the next increase all the way until March 2018. The bill includes $15.5 billion in hurricane aid. Some Republicans objected because there was no spending or entitlement reforms. I had mentioned that earlier. I want to make sure that you guys understood that this is what's going on right now in the United States. Here's in Sweden again. A fireman actually abandons a burning house after he is attacked in a no-go Muslim zone. He went into a no-go zone with a house on fire, and he was beaten. The fireman was beaten. Malå, Sweden, firefighters were forced to abandon a burning building, allowing it to burn to the ground after they were violently attacked by locals who threw glass bottles at them. Malå has a heavy migrant population that has no-go zones where rampant drug trafficking, gang crime, religious extremism can be found, along with child sex trafficking. The fire, which occurred in the city suburb, initially started after two cars in a park were set on fire Thursday by Muslims. Police and fire crews were called and arrived at the scene shortly after, while another fire was started in a nearby building. The police said in a press release, as the firemen tried to put out the second blaze, they were basically attacked and had to leave, and the building burned to the ground. Guys, this is nuts. This is absolutely nuts that this is going on in Sweden, that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful country has basically been completely and totally taken over. Here's another interesting article. The Southern Law Professor, the Southern Poverty Law Center accuses a black professor of being a white supremacist apologist. Listen to this. Dr. Carol Swan, who's a black professor at Vanderbilt University, said the Southern Law Center targeted her, calling her a white supremacist apologist, after her positive review of a film that offered credence to the idea that white people have not been subjected to have been subjected to racism. Tucker Carlson says that the SPLC is a corrupt group that seeks to raise a lot of money, but it's a mystery why so many mainstream media outlets take them seriously and pretend they are legitimate. Okay, it's no mystery, guys. The media is as corrupt as they are. They are all communists. This is exactly, I've talked about this so many times, this communist takeover of the United States started after the Russian Revolution 1917, and came into the United States with these Russians who were these socialist communists coming in and taking over Hollywood. It's taken 100 years for them to brainwash the masses, and now everybody who's white, oh guys, and listen to me, if you don't think this is going to get worse, we've got to stand against this. We can't allow this, because it's going to get much, much, much worse, until it'll be a point where you have to put a sign on your car that you're ashamed you're white, or you'll be attacked. I mean, it's going to come to some insane thing like this because of these communists who did the same program in 1917, 1918 in Russia with Lenin, with all of these guys funded by the Rothschild banking cartel and the Rockefellers. Guys, this is a major, major problem, all to establish a Rothschild central bank in Russia. Guys, these guys are Sabbatean Kabbalists, and they are a bunch of sick puppies. These guys are weird. They drink blood. They sacrifice children. They support videos that hang little white children. These guys need to be fully exposed for who they are, and this is the only show that I know that does it on a regular basis, Austin. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And also, too, another article from John Rappaport. Now, the Medical News Today reported that in 2011, there was a modest uptick in the number of prescriptions written in the United States. The increase brought the total to 4.02 prescriptions in 1 year. Billion. 4.02 billion. Yes, in 2011, doctors wrote over 4 billion prescriptions for drugs in America. That's an average of roughly 11 different prescriptions for every man, woman, and child. The highest amount of prescriptions in any country in the world. And one thing you have to look at this, and this morning we were real busy, and I had the privilege to speak to a lot of our customers on the phone that were calling in. I was placing orders for them. We had a real nice lady that was talking, wanted to order some stuff from us, and she was saying, well, what can I take for my thyroid? My thyroid's been removed. And I said, well, there's not a whole lot I can actually give you for your thyroid, because your body doesn't manufacture T3 anymore. You're on medication that your doctor gave you, so there's nothing I can really do. And I asked her, you know, and I've heard this so many times, I asked him again, I said, why in the world did they remove your thyroid? And she goes, well, I was having symptoms of hypothyroidism. I was like overly energetic and couldn't hold weight, and so typical hyperthyroid issues, and they told me they couldn't stabilize it after a couple months, so they went ahead and said the best thing to do was remove my entire thyroid and put me on Armor thyroid, you know, the T3 medication. And it was sad, you know, and I would love to be able to help somebody like that, but there's nothing I can do. When you start removing organs that are crucial in production of different hormones, there's nothing you can do about it. It's done. There's no T3 being produced anymore in the body. You have to have a synthetic form at that point. The reason why I say that is because, guys, be very, very cautious about a lot of these doctors, A, wanting to put you on needless prescriptions, and B, wanting to start cutting organs out of you. Last time I checked, you had those organs placed in your body by God Almighty for a reason. There's a reason why you have a thyroid, and there's a reason why you have a gallbladder. Both of those organs are the two most commonly removed organs that I personally talk to people on the phone about. I probably hear it at least 2 to 3 times a week. Somebody calls in, had my gallbladder removed. Somebody calls in, had my thyroid removed. All the time I get those phone calls, and it saddens me, because in most cases I ask the people, well, did you do any different types of nutrients? You do a gallbladder flask? You do some thyroid supplements? Did you try natural probes? Well, no, I've tried some stuff before, but I don't know if it really worked a whole lot, and the doctor said it's easier just to remove it. And guys, get a second opinion, get a third opinion, get a fourth opinion if you want to. Don't just go with the first thing that the first doctor says, because he wants to get another surgeon fee and he wants to put you on another medication that he can get a bump on his prescription list and get more kickbacks. Remember, these guys are for profit. They make money. They're not doing this out of the kindness of their heart. The more surgeries they do, the more prescriptions they push, in essence, the more funds and the more monetary incentives they get. This is something everybody needs to realize. Same thing we talked about last month with the Blue Cross Blue Shield incentivizing pediatricians. If they have all of their all their kids that are under them have all of their shots by the age of 2 years of age, they have at least 100 children with full shot schedules, they get an extra $20,000. They get 200 kids on,
$40,000.
They get 200 children on their full shot schedule throughout their pediatrician period. They get $80,000. They're giving these guys incentives on a regular basis. Just like now, a medical study has been published by the medical journal Vaccine has confirmed another shocking link between flu shots and spontaneous abortions in pregnant women. Listen to this, guys. The study was rejected by two previous medical journals before Vaccine agreed to publish it, showing you the tendency for medical journals to censor any science that doesn't agree with the pro-vaccine narratives. A study published in Vaccine suggested a strong association between receiving repeated doses of seasonal influenza vaccine and miscarriages, writes the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy. And this is how the beginning of it starts, reports Medical Express. A puzzling study, implying that this is so odd, we can't figure out why this possibly could have happened, this isn't normal. A puzzling study of U.S. pregnancies found that women who had miscarriages between 2010 and 2012 were much more likely to have had back-to-back annual flu shots than included protection against swine flu. The study was conducted after the CDC made the recommendation in 2004 that all pregnant women in all trimesters get the seasonal flu shot. Guys, they blatantly did this research study, and it showed that these women had a much, much higher chance of having miscarriages when they had the flu shot, including the swine flu vaccination. Nobody wants to talk about this in the medical community. Nobody wants to talk about this in these magazines. I'm glad these guys finally picked this up, but this is something that everybody has to realize. The medical model, the vaccine industry, these guys are not telling you the truth of what's going on. You have to do your own research before you start pumping this stuff in your body, before you start taking these prescriptions just unknowingly what they do, before you allow these doctors to start cutting into your body and removing organs that most of the time are in perfectly good shape. You're just very deficient in specific nutrients that your body needs to function these organs properly. All these things are really important. You look at other options, get other opinions, and do your research before just blindly following these guys. That's why we're here at Health Masters. That's why we have a phone number that we pick up every day, Monday through Friday, when we're here. We do the best we can to give out this. This is why we do the show, guys. We want to give out this information to help acknowledge everybody, give them the knowledge and protect them the best we can so you know what's really going on and you can make your own informed decision, Dad. And like I said, it was definitely sobering talking to a lot of customers today, but it's sad to me that this happens on a regular basis, and we just do the best we can on a day-to-day. Hopefully we get more and more people that call us up and we can really help out and put them on protocols, because it's really good when you get phone calls of people to say, hey, I didn't get this surgery and I went on your protocol and now I have great results, which I've gotten a ton of those as well. But when you get these ones where people are saying they've removed organs for no reason whatsoever, years ago I had a customer, a great customer, he still orders from us. He called me up, said that he was having prostate problems, that they thought his prostate had cancer in it. So, of course, they did a biopsy, found some cancerous cells, and they said, well, the reason why you have prostate cancer is because you're producing too much testosterone, so we basically need to castrate you and remove both your testicles so you don't produce any more testosterone. That'll fix the prostate cancer, which it didn't. And he called me up trying to figure out what he could do. We put him on some natural supplements, but again, there's only so much you can do when you start removing organs. But give us a call, guys, 1-800-726-1834, healthmasters.com. We're here to help you guys the best we can, and we always do that Monday through Friday as often as we can, guys.
Wow, Austin, that's a lot. But you're right, I've worked with thousands and thousands of patients, up to 40 people a day in my clinic when we had it open. We no longer have a clinic. We want you to know that. We don't give you any medical advice. We just give you health and nutrition advice if you ask for it. So, but yeah. By the way, the new study shows that following a high fat diet makes you live longer. Mitochondria, the tiny enemy factories in your cells, generate what's called ATP. That's also known as adenosine triphosphate. which breaks down, by the way, the adenosine diphosphate, but you guys don't care about that. The energy currency your body needs to run its systems. The mitochondria are also responsible for apoptosis, or pre-programmed cell death, and serve as important signaling molecules that help regulate your genetic expression. Hence, the state of the mitochondria play a vital role in your health. And once your mitochondria become damaged, you have all kinds of problems that happen to you. And basically a diet, which is basically low and high glycemic carbohydrates and healthy fats, and high in healthy fats, is a key for boosting mitochondrial function. Guys, the biggest problem with fat is what happened with the people who used to eat the hydrogenated oils like Crisco back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. There was a huge shortage of butter back in the 40s during the World War II, and they had to come up with a substitute. So they developed what's called a hydrogenated fat, or Crisco, and they basically bubbled nickel through like corn oil at about 1,000 degrees. And what ended up happening, it caused the bonds to go solid or become a trans fat, become solid at room temperature. And then they put yellow food coloring in, and that's what we call margarine today. All Crisco is basically margarine without food coloring in it. It's all pure trans fat. And so what happened, people started dying left and right from heart disease, and so they said, it's fat that's causing this. No, it's not the fat, it's the trans fat. That's why on my top 10 list of foods never to eat, trans fats were always included in that list. Butter is fine for you. No problem. Olive oil is fine for you. You know, there's so many good. Coconut oil is fine for you. You've got to realize that you can live on a relatively high fat intake and not get fat. The carbohydrates make you fat, especially if you combine them with like, if you have like pizza, that's like the worst thing you can do to get fat. But guys, stay frosty with your diet. Stay away from the high glycemic cookies and the junk and the dairy and all the things that have sugar added to them, like the yogurts, and stay with all the natural stuff. Guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us. And make sure the dairy is not pasteurized. If you can get it non-homogenized, it's good too, if it's legal in your state. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for at least getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for listening to the show every day. Today was another great show. I loved the show today. It's a good show. I appreciate you guys. Austin, go ahead and close. God bless you guys. Austin, I'll do the write-up. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, guys, thank you for all the support, and thank you for allowing Health Masters to be your supplement and nutrition guide here. That's what we do. That's what we like doing. We love helping everybody out. And be sure also to check out the website for the product of the week, the Magnesium Dead Sea Oil one. That's our standard base Magnesium Dead Sea Oil, which is a very, very great product, on sale for over, I think, 10% off. It's a pretty good deal right now. So be sure to check that out on the website, and also go on the website and vote for the other products you want to see win. Lots of other great ones this week. But email us if you guys need anything, healthmasters.com, or give us a call Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time, 9 to 5. That's 1-800-726-1834. We appreciate it, guys. Thank you for the support again over the weekend as we push through the hurricane. We're blessed that it came through smooth and didn't have a lot of damage here in Central Florida. So, again, we appreciate all the support with that. But you guys absolutely are the best. We appreciate everything. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.